As the U.S. Senate begins deliberation of the massive comprehensive immigration reform bill, a number that's frequently in the news is 11 million. That's the number of undocumented persons commonly estimated to be living in the United States. With the fate of such a massive population at stake, it can be difficult to keep in mind much smaller groups that will nonetheless be profoundly affected by what's included and what's excluded from the final legislation. One such group consists of the LGBT Americans. Despite the tremendous progress we've seen recently in terms of marriage equality at the state level, there's been no change whatsoever at the federal level, where gay families are denied a long list of rights and benefits which are routinely granted to opposite-gender couples. Binational, same-gender couples continue to be subject to discrimination that would be unthinkable for others. No American has the right to sponsor a same-gender spouse for immigration in the way that any heterosexual partner routinely can. Directly targeted at this inequity is the Uniting American Families Act, which has gained bipartisan support. This issue could be solved by an amendment to the immigration bill. At the same time, the Supreme Court is about to rule on DOMA, the notorious Defense of Marriage Act that is routinely used to restrict the rights of LGBT Americans. So, a lot could change this June, traditionally celebrated as Gay Pride Month. But it's certainly just as possible that these families will continue to be overlooked, and our producer will have to continue to work from overseas as he must today in order to keep his own family intact. Doing great work, significant work on these issues, is Bend the Arc, a Jewish Partnership for Justice. And joining me now is Hadar Suskind, the director of Bend the Arc Jewish Action and Bend the Arc Jewish Action PAC. Hadar, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
For listeners unfamiliar with some of the details of this issue, please start by talking about why federal legislation is crucial to same-gender couples. Because I think there's a lot of confusion in light of state-level progress on marriage equality regarding the fact that nothing's changed when it comes to binational relationships.
That's true. And, you know, there has been tremendous progress in the states. We now have 12 states, hopefully going on 13 soon, that have recognized same-sex marriages. But the fact remains that many of the benefits and many of the issues that come up with relation to marriage recognition are federal in nature. And so it's essential not just for the people in the remaining 38 states who don't have those rights, but even people who live in the states that recognize same-sex marriages still don't get those federal benefits that heterosexual couples do. And, you know, you mentioned your producer and his situation. For us as Americans, for us as people of faith, we deeply value the family and the institution of the family. And it's unthinkable that LGBT Americans would be forced to choose between their love of country and their love of family.
Yeah. Well, how did Bend the Arc come to be so prominently involved in this issue?
Well, for us, as we began our internal deliberations on immigration reform, we knew it was something that we wanted to be involved in. The Jewish community broadly has a deep history in supporting comprehensive immigration reform. For us, you know, American Jews for the most part are two, maybe three generations removed from our own immigrant stories, and they are still individually and communally very, very strongly felt. Mm-hmm. We also knew that for us as an organization, we try to be the voice that channels the progressive energies of the Jewish community around the country and brings that to bear on policy. And LGBT equality is an issue that American Jews care deeply about, and one that we knew would be a flashpoint as it has come to pass in this bill. And we decided for us, while supporting immigration reform and supporting the heart of the bill, that passage to citizenship for those 11 million you mentioned, that we really wanted to put our energy and our capacity into raising up this issue and making sure that people understood, senators, congressmen understood that there was no unified faith voice in opposition to this, because unfortunately, so often when issues of LGBT equality come up and people think about the faith community, they assume that we're talking about voices in opposition to that kind of equality. And we've worked very hard in the Jewish community and with many, many interfaith partners to make it clear that the vast majority of Americans of all faiths actually support marriage equality.
Yeah. I mentioned Uniting American Families Act. This is kind of a 101 question.
Sure.
But what does that act do if it's passed, and why is it so important? And what's the current status?
Sure. So the act, which in the Senate was introduced by Senator Leahy, who chairs the Judiciary Committee that just passed the immigration bill out, would, as you said, simply grant the capacity to LGBT Americans to sponsor their partners, to sponsor same-sex partners in an equal footing as heterosexual couples. And so it would enable what it looks like probably 40 to 60,000 families in America to be together, to not have to make that family or country decision. Currently, it was not included in the bill as passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Many of the Republicans, including those in the Gang of Eight, had threatened that they would pull their support from the immigration reform overall were it included. And so while Senator Leahy had introduced the amendment, he actually pulled it before a vote was held, really at the advice of the Democratic leaders in the Gang of Eight. And so right now, as the Senate begins to pick up the bill on the floor and the full Senate consideration, I know that Senator Leahy is weighing whether or not he will introduce the amendment, and we certainly hope that he does.
Yeah. Would you talk about the two other ways this inequity could possibly be addressed, either through comprehensive immigration reform or the Supreme Court ruling on DOMA, on the Defense of Marriage Act? Are both of those are good possibilities?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's generally preference is to get it done by legislation. That way it's signed into law and it's got a more sense of permanence to it. Yeah. So there's still many groups, including Ben the Arc, pushing for this in the Senate. We're gearing up for this fight in the House as well, obviously. We'll see. And the timing is a little tricky here as to when the votes will take place versus when the Supreme Court ruling will come down. If DOMA is fully struck down, then we should be able to start moving down the process where same-sex couples would have these rights anyway, where you wouldn't need the legislation to make that happen. Of course, we don't know. And so we and all other good advocates out there are going to continue this fight on the legislative front until the Supreme Court ruling does come down. And, you know, there's no guarantees what that ruling is going to be. And it's not a black or white. It's very possible that they will strike down certain provisions, but put in language in their decision that might keep this from moving forward or keep it from moving forward easily. So we have the immigration reform package moving forward. We have DOMA. And then pending what the results are there, if we don't get the results, if we don't get the equality that I think we need going forward, you know, we can continue this. Legislation like this doesn't have to be part of immigration reform. It could be introduced separately as well. Although, again, this is not a tag on to immigration reform. This is not trying to sneak marriage equality into immigration reform. This is about immigration, and this is about the immigration rights of American citizens, their rights to sponsor their partners, to keep their families together. So it is integral to comprehensive immigration reform, and we believe deeply that it should be included in this bill.
You've already talked about Senator Leahy, what he's done, what he's looking at right now. What's the mechanism for including these rights as the bill itself heads to the Senate for a vote?
So where that stands right now, having passed out of the Judiciary Committee, the full Senate will take it up, and we're probably going to see hundreds of amendments from many, many different senators introduced, some of which will be considered. So Senator Leahy, or different senators should they choose, could introduce the amendment. It'll be debated on the floor. It'll get a vote on the full floor. Depending on the process and the mechanism by which it's introduced, it may need 60 votes to pass, not a simple majority, which will be very challenging.
The resistance to amendments up till now is only going to feed a frenzy of amendments. Isn't that right, when it gets—
Absolutely. And, you know, the goal of the Gang of Eight, who came together to push this legislation, and I will say our goal and the goal of all the advocates who are supporting immigration reform, is to pass a bill, sign into law a bill that creates a meaningful path to citizenship for as many people as possible in as reasonable a time frame as possible. So we're going to be fighting against all of these amendments that have triggers and that have all of these other steps that are really just intended to be obstacles to keep this from happening.
Where is the strongest opposition coming from?
On the immigration bill overall or on the Uniting America Families Act?
Let's do both.
Well, I think, you know, there's a fear in Congress. There's a fear that on the immigration overall, there's a fear that has some positives. It's pushing people forward when they look at election results and they look at the changing demographics of our nation, saying we need to address this problem. I think there are many, many champions who really understand the personal impact that this has, what this means for those 11 million people who are here right now living in the shadows, but also what it means for our nation and for our economy and our workforce. There's a fear on the other side, that electoral fear from some members that are afraid of what it's going to mean to empower these people. They're afraid of what it's going to mean when they become voters. They're afraid of what it's going to mean when they become union members. They're afraid of what it's going to mean when they become fully legalized workers who, frankly, can't be taken advantage of anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fear out there that throws up walls. And I think, you know, similarly on the Uniting American Families Act, the movement in our country on this issue, on marriage equality, has been so massive and so fast that I think even for supporters, it's been stunning. Right. You know, I live in the state of Maryland where we had a marriage equality ballot initiative on the ballot this past November. Up until last November, 2012, it had been on the ballot, I believe, in 31 times in states around the country and lost every single time. Three positive ones and one negative one. We defeated the negative one in Minnesota and won three positive ones in November. Since then, state after state after state has passed marriage equality. One of the side benefits of this debate in the Senate, even though it wasn't included in the immigration bill so far, has been the move of more and more senators to come out publicly in favor of marriage equality. Right. We've seen now every single Democratic senator out publicly supporting marriage equality, and two and a half Republicans also stepping out in their case from their party and speaking out on this. And so it's really been very, very quickly, very quick. And whether it gets included in this legislation or whether DOMA is stricken from the records or not, you know, I think a lot of people look at this and say, this battle is won. We just have to catch up to the pieces.
I've got a lot more questions that I'd like to ask you about this subject, but I don't want to use all of our time because I want you to just briefly tell our listeners about other work of Bend the Arc. What other issues are you all involved in?
Sure. Well, thank you for that opportunity. You know, Bend the Arc is the largest progressive Jewish organization in America that's focused solely on U.S. domestic policy issues. And we have brought together voices from New York and California and Minnesota and Colorado and Washington and places all around the country where so many American Jews care deeply about our federal budget and our spending priorities and poverty. So many care about education and hunger. So many care about gun violence prevention, immigration reform, and LGBT equality. So many issues where, as individuals and as congregations and communities, people have been active, but we haven't had one broad national Jewish voice like this that's been here taking those voices and taking that work from around the country and really projecting it into the halls of power and talking to our senators and our congressmen and working with the White House. And we're doing that here. We're also doing it in state capitals and city halls around the country and working on a whole array of domestic policy issues, really trying to push forward the priorities of our community, which are overwhelmingly focused on economic justice, focused on equality, focused on civil rights and civil liberties. So we really bring together that whole agenda.
Yeah. And Adar, how can our listeners keep up with what you're doing and even become involved in your work if they choose?
Great. Well, bendthearc.us is our website, so please visit us there. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. And again, wherever you are in the country, whatever domestic policy issues you care about, you know, we're a home for people who want to be progressive, want to be activist, want to raise up their voices and have them heard and really make an impact. So we'd love to have as many people out there as possible come, join us, support our work, lend your voice.
I really do appreciate you being here with us today. It's obvious that you love your work, that you have a grasp of it in your hands because you love what you do. I have just a personal question to ask you before you go. Why do you do this work?
For so many, the story of the American Jewish community is about striving for justice. You can go back to every major social movement in America has had the active involvement of Jews, not only as individuals, but as institutions. You can look at Rabbi Heschel marching with Dr. King. You can look at, you know, the speaker before Dr. King at the March on Washington in 63 was Rabbi Joachim Prinz, the president of the American Jewish Congress. Suffrage, labor issues, all of those. That's the story of the American Jewish community, is fighting for justice. And we are now sit in the privilege seat for many of us, not all, but for many of us. And as a community, we've moved up the chain education-wise, professionally. But we know that you don't pull that ladder up behind you. You keep fighting for justice for everybody. And that's why we do what we do.
Hadar Susskind is the director of Bend the Arc Jewish Action and the Bend the Arc Jewish Action PAC. You can follow his work, as he has just told you, and you should follow his work, at bendthearc.us. Hadar, I thank you so much for being with us today here on State of Belief Radio. We hope to see you again.
Thank you for having me here. It was a pleasure.